ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायशो भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, creation, chapter number 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Text 42. Please repeat after me. Sa tu sanshravayamas maharajam parikshitam prayopavishtam गंगायाम परीतम परमर्षिभिः। सतु संश्रावयामास महाराजं परीक्षितं प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायाम परीतं परमर्षिभिः। सतु संश्रावयामास महाराजं परीक्षितं प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायां परीतं परमर्षिभिः। सतु संश्रावयामास महाराजं परीक्षितं प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायां परीतं परमर्षिभिः। संश्रावयामास प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायां परीतं परमर्षिभिः। स तु संश्रावयामास महाराजं परीक्षितं प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायां परमर्षिभिः। स तु संश्रावयामास प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायां परीतं परमर्षिभिः। माताजी स तु संश्रावयामास महाराजं परीक्षितं प्रायोपविष्टं गंगायां synonyms. Sa, the son of Vyasadeva. Tu, again. Samshravayamasa. Make them audible. Maharajam unto the emperor. Parikshitam of the name Parikshit. Praya Upavishtam, who sat until death without food or drink. Gangayam, on the bank of the Ganges. Paritam, being surrounded. Paramarshibhihi, by great sages. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganges, awaiting death without taking food or drink. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All transcendental messages are received properly in the chain of disciplic succession. This disciplic succession is called parampara. Unless, therefore, Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literatures are received through the parampara system, the reception of knowledge is not bona fide. Vyasadeva delivered the message to Shukadeva Goswami. And from Shukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami received the message. One should therefore receive the message of Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami or from his representative and not from any irrelevant interpreter. Emperor Parikshit received the information of his death in time, and he at once left his kingdom and family and sat down on the bank of the Ganges to fast till death. All great sages, rishis, philosophers, mystics, etc. went there due to his imperial position. They offered many suggestions about his immediate duty. And at last it was settled that he would hear from Shukadeva Goswami about Lord Krishna. Thus Bhagavatam was spoken to him. Shripad Shankaracharya, who preached Mayavad philosophy and stressed the impersonal feature of the Absolute, also at last recommended that one must take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, for there is no hope of gain from debating. Indirectly, Shripad Shankaracharya admitted that what he had preached in the flowery grammatical interpretations of the Vedanta Sutra cannot help one at the time of death. At the critical hour of death, one must recite the name of Govinda. This is the recommendation of all great transcendentalists. Shukadeva Goswami had long ago stated the same truth, that at the end one must remember Narayan. That is the essence of all spiritual activities. In pursuance of this eternal truth, Srimad Bhagavatam was heard by Parikshit, emperor, and it was received by the able, and it was recited by the able Shukadev Goswami. And both the speaker and the receiver of the messages of Bhagavatam were duly delivered by the same medium. Om Adhyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially Swavas Prabhu and all the Prabhupada disciples and all the assembled ones, so I can speak something for my own purification. So we see that today's verse, it is explaining that two great personalities came in contact with each other and Bhagavatam was born. So these two great personalities, the person who is receiving the knowledge is Parikshit Maharaj, and the spiritual master, the person who is giving the knowledge, the speaker, is Shukadeva Goswami. Both are great personalities. Both are pure devotees. And it appears that the receiver, Parikshit Maharaj, he appears to have already seen Krishna when he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara. So we know the story that when the battle of Kurukshetra, when Mahabharata was over, you know, everybody from the Kaurava side, they were killed, including all the Kauravas. And the son of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhan, he was laying in pain with his spine broken, and he was, you know, in pain. That time, his best friend Ashwatthama, who was son of Dronacharya, the teacher of Pandavas, somehow he wanted to take revenge. Even though he is from Brahmin family, you know, by birth he is coming from a very great lineage. He is coming from the dynasty of Brihaspati, who is the spiritual master of demigods. So Brihaspati's son is Bharadwaj, who is also a very great renowned person. Bharadwaj's son is Drona, and Drona's son is Ashwatthama. So he is coming from a great lineage, but he is performing heinous act. What he is doing is, after the war was already over, you know, the king is the other party, the enemies, they were already, you know, killed. But Duryodhan is finished. Still, just to take revenge, he killed the five sons, the, you know, next generation of Pandavas. He killed them in their sleep, while those children were sleeping in the tent. That time, you know, Arjuna became very angry and he brought Ashwatthama. But Draupadi forgave Ashwatthama because she said that even though he has done a heinous act, he is from the family of Guru and we cannot harm the family of Guru. At the same time, he is from Brahman family. We cannot enrage Brahmanas. Otherwise, Brahmanas will become our enemies and they want to take revenge. And the most important aspect that she says is, I am a mother who is undergoing immense grief of death of my five sons. I do not want the same to happen to mother of Ashwatthama. So she said that I am a mother, I am going through such a pain, I am crying profusely. I don't want to give pain to another mother. That's the heart of a mother and a pure devotee. So when a pure devotee is living in this world, he is Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu. He is Paradukha Dukhi. He thinks, you know, he wants to treat others as he wants to be treated. He is Paradukha Dukhi. He is always sorrowful in the sorrow of others. So here Draupadi says that we should leave him, because already his father is dead. So how will his mother live if we kill the only son? Anyway, when they left him, just, you know, without killing, that time again he sent Brahmastra for the second time. And Krishna was about to leave because the war is over. You know, Krishna's business, you know, the reason he was in Hastinapur was already taken care. So Krishna was about to leave. That time Uttara came. running towards him. And she is asking for help. And she is saying that there is a Brahmastra coming towards me. Krishna, only you can save me. Please save my child. If someone has to die, let me die. But please protect my embryo. Please protect my womb. So that time, Krishna, he entered the womb of Uttara to protect the child. And he covered the womb. And Brahmastra cannot be counteracted by anyone else. But Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could counteract Brahmastra. And funny thing is, in that dark womb, Parikshit, you know, just even unborn baby, he is looking at a person who is coming to save him. And that person was blackish, very beautiful, and of the size of a thumb. Only this little personality came, and that person protected him. So when the child came out, he was always looking at every person, thinking, oh, is that the person who saved me when I was in the womb of my mother? Is that the person? And that's why his name became Parikshit. Parikshit means the one who always examines or examiner. So, at the time of birth, their family priest, Dhaumya, he gave the name to the child as Vishnurat. Vishnurat means this child has already been protected by Lord Krishna himself. So, the name was given as Vishnurat. And Parikshit Maharaj always liked that name better than Parikshit. He always liked Vishnurat. So we see that he is already a pure devotee. Then how come such a pure devotee be cursed to die in only 7 days and seven nights? So when this Parikshit, you know, he became the king after disappearance of Krishna. When Krishna wound up all the earthly pastimes and he went back to his eternal kingdom, that time Arjuna came back to Hastinapur. And Yudhishthir saw that Arjuna is so dejected and he's so sad that I never saw Arjun so sad in my entire life. Though that time Yudhishthir is asking, what has happened? And he asks so many questions. Have you displeased anyone? Has someone insulted you? Have you not been able to protect someone? What is causing you such a grief that the tears are profusely flowing through your eyes and your head is down? So that time Yudhishthir could understand the only reason Arjun can be so much in pain is that our dearmost Krishna has left this world. And we see the next verse, Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Adibhisa. So when Krishna left this world, dharma, religiosity, and jnana, knowledge, and all the good qualities, all the virtues, they also disappeared from this world. And Yudhishthir Maharaj could see that the people in general, they were becoming very immoral. So when Krishna left, Krishna also wanted to make sure that when he leaves the world, he wanted something to represent him. That's why, you know, Bhagavat also means that, you know, the personality of Godhead. So there is Vyakti Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat, who is also pure devotee, who is, you know, and there is book Bhagavat. So when this baby, Parikshit, he became younger, that time he was crowned to be the emperor. He became the emperor of the entire world. And such great person that he was Samrat, he was Chakravarti Samrat, like he was actual the king of all the kings. He was the emperor, the ruler of the entire world. And it was predicted that he will be as good as the king Ikshvaku, who was the son of Swayambhu Manu. And at the time of birth of Parikshit, it was predicted that he will be as good as Lord Ram. So we always have a question, why would such a pure devotee, why would he be, he was put into such a difficult situation that one day he was hunting, he was on a hunting spree. That time he was very thirsty and parched, and he went in the search of water, and he saw that there was a rishi. He entered that ashram, the hermitage of Shramik Rishi. But that Shramik Rishi was busy in meditation, so he did not receive the king properly. And there was no one to receive Parikshit. And being thirsty and parched, Parikshit thought that, this is like a dead reception. No one is here to, receive me properly. So he saw that there was a dead snake laying on the ground. He took the snake and put it around the neck of Shramik Muni, who was engrossed in meditation. Now, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions that there is no question of a pure devotee like Parikshit to become, affected by these material qualities like lust, like thirst, or, being parched or tired. So people may say that, he was thirsty or parched, and that's why he, got bewildered and he did that act. Prabhupada said it's not possible for a pure devotee. Pure devotees are dhira. They are very tolerant. They can tolerate all kinds of, these kind of things. Then why would he do this? So that time Prabhupada always, he mentions that it is impossible for Parikshit to do such an act. It is impossible for Parikshit to do this. And then Prabhupada mentions, therefore, it has to be the will of Lord Krishna. So, this act of Parikshit, when the son of Shramik Muni came to know Sringi, that he came to know that my father was disrespected like this. So he cursed that you will be bitten by a snake, Takshak, at the end of seventh day. So Parikshit, he renounced everything right away. So that is also a very good lesson, that for a pure devotee, they are aloof of all the material, all the material contamination, or even all the material attachments. So as soon as he heard that this curse has been pronounced, he renounced. He left the kingdom, leaving behind for his son, Janmejaya. And he went to the forest. And we see that so many people came, mystics, so many different varieties of people, rishis, philosophers, mystics, great sages. And there came Shukadev Goswami. When Shukadev came, then Parikshit Maharaj was very happy. Because who is Shukadev Goswami? He is son of Vyasadev, who is the literary incarnation of Krishna. So one time this Shukadev Goswami, how great he was. One time his father sent him to Janak Maharaj and said that you should learn some good qualities from Janak. So Shukadev went to Janak Maharaj. So he is the king of Mithila. But he is not the son, he is not the father of Sita Devi. All the kings from Mithila, they are called Janak. So it's like a post. So this king, when he was informed that there is Shukadev outside waiting for you, so this king said, okay, let him wait. One day passed, second day passed, 3 days passed, and Shukadev Goswami, he was unaffected. He was only patiently waiting. At the end of third day, this king came, and he gave a big reception for Shukadev Goswami. So first he ignored Shukadev Goswami just to check his level of tolerance. Then when he brought him inside, he gave him a pot, a little cup of milk, which was completely filled. And he said that go round, circumambulate this palace 3 times and come. So Shukdev, he was holding this pot of milk which was filled, and he is circumambulating 3 times. That time he saw so many beautiful princes, so many beautiful girls, they are dancing, doing Bharatanatyam and their all the course, different varieties of things. But after the end of 3 circumambulations, when he came back, there was not a single drop of milk that was poured. So he was so focused. So that was the second test. And the third test that Janak Maharaj took was, he said, take out your tongue. So on the tongue, he put some very soft sugar. And he waited for some time. Those days there was no stopwatch, but he waited for some time, and then he saw that even after this much of time, the sugar was not melted. So he said that he, fell at the feet of Shukdev Goswami. And he said, my dear Shukdev, what can I teach you? I cannot teach you. You are much more superior than me. Please accept my humble obeisances and go back to your father. So this was the level of Shukadeva Goswami. He is completely pure. And he is Shuka. Shuka means the parrot of... He is Radharani's parrot. So there is Shuka and Sari. Sari is Krishna's parrot. And so they both are like the spies. And they always help Radha Krishna for their pastimes. So as soon as the discussion began, Shukadev Goswami was requested to give the knowledge of Bhagavatam. So the first question Parikshit Maharaj is asking is not that, oh, this rascal, this little boy of a Brahmana, he cursed me. Tell me, how can I counteract the curse? No, he did not care, because he is a pure devotee. He did not care about that. He asked only one question, that Atha Purchami Sam Siddhim Yoginam Paramam Gurum Purushasyeha Yatkaryam Riyamanasya Sarvata. What is the duty of a person all the times? And what is specifically the duty of a person who is about to die? So Srila Prabhupada mentions that the second question is more important, because the second question is for every one of us. Every one of us can die at any time in this material world. Padam padam yat na vipadam. Everywhere padam padam vipadam natesham. At every step there is danger. At any time death can come. Rather, Parikshit Maharaj, he is more fortunate that he knew that this is the time I'm going to leave my body. So like Krishna says, that what is the actual final exam of death? Antyakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. How to solve this difficult question? How to break off this cycle of birth and death? At the time of death, whoever will remember Krishna, he will surely go back to Krishna's abode. So, in response to this question, Shukadeva Goswami, he gives the answer as, first he became very pleased that he is not asking some foolish question. He is not asking, that how iPhones are manufactured, or how, this technology works, or how the rain comes in the water, or how the law of karma works. He is not asking any such type of question. He is asking only the highest knowledge. He is not even talking about law of karma. He is not asking, why was I cursed like that? I am so pious. When I was unborn, when I was in the womb of my mother, I saw Lord Krishna. And he joined my body parts together. My body was destroyed. And he joined my body. Then still, how come such a calamity come upon me? He's not asking such questions. He's not asking why. He's asking the solution. He's asking, give me the solution. What is my duty? I'm about to die in 7 days. So to the response, Shukadev Goswami is saying, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Ishwar, Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari. You know, so he gives three things. Shrotavya, Kirtavya, Smartavya cha Ichita Abhayam. So three things must be done for everyone. One should always Shrotavya, hear about the Supreme Personality of God. Always hear about Krishna and His glorious pastimes. And naturally, when you hear, you want to glorify. So, if you hear about worldly things, you know, like Gramya Katha, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gramya Katha na karibo, Gramya Katha na shunibo. Do not hear gossip. Do not hear anything apart from Krishna's pastimes. Because if you put garbage in, then what will come out? Garbage will come out. If you put Krishna Katha, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, then nectar will come out. So the same way he is saying that Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, naturally you should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the third thing, Smartavya, always remember His pastimes. Whoever desires fearlessness, he should do these three things. Hear about Krishna, glorify Krishna, and remember Krishna. So these three are, and you know, in this verse he is saying Ishwaro Bhagwan Hari. He is the super soul and his name is Hari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave two definitions of the word Hari. For the materialistic people, Hari means Mrityu Sarva Harashchaham. In the form of death, I will take away everything from you. That is the definition of Hari for materialistic person. Krishna will come as death. But for devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, for devotees, Hari means Dui Mukhyatam. There are two primary definitions of the word Hari for devotees. Sarva Amangala Hare Iti Shri Hari. That means He is the one who will take away all the inauspicious things from you. And second one is Prema Diya Hare Man. He will give you love. He will fill your hearts with love. And He will steal your mind. That is Hari. So He gave these two definitions. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that should we, when we are hearing about these pastimes of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should make sure that we are hearing from the right source. We should hear from the bona fide representative of Shukdev Goswami or Suta Goswami. The knowledge must be heard from parampara, from the disciplic succession. Otherwise, the knowledge may be altered or changed and you may not get the same nectar. Like Sura Prabhu was mentioning, you cannot water down Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's not Krishna consciousness, it is water. So we see that knowledge was already given by Krishna in the form of Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna made sure that when He left the world, He left behind Bhagavatam for the world. You know, that's why it is said that Puranarko Dunoditaha. It is like sun. This Bhagavat Puran is like the sun. And for the darkness of Kali Yuga, Krishna left behind. So naturally, you may ask, if the knowledge is given, you know, everything was given, then how come the knowledge got lost? So we see that even, you know, when the Kali Yuga began, naturally the influence was so strong that in the beginning, people started to misinterpret all the Shastras, Puranas, Vedas basically. And they started killing animals. Because in some of the Shastras, animal killing is allowed with three conditions. The first condition is the animal being sacrificed has to be a goat. Only goat can be sacrificed. The second condition is that you can sacrifice the animal only on the dark moon day. That is the second condition. And the third condition given for animal sacrifice is that you should chant a mantra in the ears of that goat, saying that today I am killing you but next life you will get a chance to kill me. So these three conditions were there, but people started to misinterpret. And we see that this misinterpretation went to such an extent that animal killing became so prominent in all over the world at the beginning of Kali Yuga. It was so powerful. The beginning was really, you know, very harsh, as explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says that in the beginning, the animal killing was so much that the temples became like, you know, the what do you call the, where they kill? Slaughterhouses. Because in the name of worship, they started to kill all types of animals. And they started to neglect these three conditions, which are very specifically given in the Shastras. So, in order to stop this, you know, Lord Buddha came. And Buddha, that's why he asked, you know, people to just forget all these Vedas. He completely dissuaded people from following all types of Vedas. And he said that ultimately we have to achieve a stage called Nirvana. So, there is no soul, there is no God. Only what you should do is Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. Do not kill anyone. Non-violence is the highest religion. And he said, you should meditate and ultimately achieve Nirvana, a state where there is nothing. So, that is Buddha's philosophy. And we see that he did that because people started to slaughter animals to such a great extent. So later, you know, when Buddha's work was finished, after a few years, you know, Krishna's response was that Lord Shiva incarnated as Adya Shankaracharya. Adya Shankaracharya came and he had only one objective, that whatever, you know, Lord Buddha had to do in order to stop animal sacrifices, but because of that, you know, all the people rejected Vedas. So, Adya Shankaracharya's main objective was to reinstate the faith in the Vedas. So, he preached Mayavad all over India and he, you know, driven away the Buddhists from India. He converted people and again reinstated the faith in the Vedas. And he gave Mayavad philosophy, impersonal. That, you know, we are also Brahman and the Supreme is also Brahman. So if you follow the process, you know, ultimately you can become that Supreme. You can merge into the Supreme. You know, Aham Brahmasmi. They have, you know, Narayan. They even call each other Narayan. They say that you are Narayan, I am also Narayan. And we will merge at the time of, you know, when we leave this world, if we can merge and become Narayan, which is impersonal. That is his philosophy, but in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving the reference to Shankaracharya. That's why I spoke about this. At the end, Shankaracharya, you know, after preaching all the impersonal Mayavad philosophy, when his work was done, that all the people again started to follow Vedas, and the faith was restored, and Buddhist philosophy he condemned and he, you know, he defeated. But then he gave the higher knowledge also at the end. That in, you know, at the first, in the first verse of Viveka Chudamani, he offers the humble obeisances to Govinda. He says that you are the spiritual master, supreme spiritual master. And to his followers, he said that Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam Moodhamate. O fool! You should only worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, three times. Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Moodhamate. Prata Sandigdhe Marane, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrung Karane. Death can attack you anytime. Anytime, you know, this death can attack you. So at the time of death, all your knowledge and so-called, you know, debating will not work. You cannot debate with death. You cannot say that this is not my time. Give me 2 minutes, please, 2 minutes. Give me two more minutes, please. I have to do something. No. At the time of death, you have no choice. So that's why he said that only solution, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Moodhamate. So that's the only solution he said. One time a person came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, your philosophy sounds very similar to Buddha's philosophy. Prabhupada asked, do you follow Buddha? So he said, no, not really, I was just asking. Prabhupada said, follow Buddha, follow Jesus, follow Krishna, follow someone, at least start somewhere. What is the point of only talking? Start somewhere. Do not just waste time, you know, on the lap of Maya, sleeping and thinking that I am enjoying. Start somewhere, Srila Prabhupada mentioned. So, there are always two types of transcendentalists. Yogis, you know, and devotees. Devotees always want to please Krishna. And they always want to serve Krishna. Eternally, they do not have any other ulterior motive. They do not want to merge into Krishna's body. They do not have any material desire. But yogis, they have a lot of material desires. They may have at least the desire of impersonal liberation, which is condemned and which is useless. So, Srila Prabhupada, one time he was going on morning walk. So he reached the park and he was waiting for devotees who were supposed to come in another car. So he was waiting. When the car came, he saw that Leelavati Mataji, she had difficulty coming out of the car because she had her baby, Subhadra. And, you know, she was in the carrier on her back. So this Mataji could not come out of the car easily. She had to struggle. So Prabhupada laughed at her and he said that burden of affection. Leelavati Mataji said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. So when they started to take the walk, Srila Prabhupada, he said, you know, there are actually two ways to carry a baby. So Srila Prabhupada started to tap his cane on the ground in his famous style. And Srila Prabhupada said, there is monkey way and there is cat way. So Prabhupada asked, which way do you think is better? So all the people, you know, also surrounded, that something important discussion started. So Leelavati Mataji, she was very confused. She did not understand. So Srila Prabhupada, he explained. He said, the monkey baby has to, you know, climb on the back of the mother. And he has to hold on tightly. And this is how he travels. Whereas the kitten is carried in the teeth of the mother. Which way is the better? Srila Prabhupada again asked the question. So Leelavati Mataji was still confused and everyone was silent. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the monkey baby is very, very small, is very, very weak, and he has to sit tightly holding the mother. And he has to, you know, on his own strength, he has to protect himself. Whereas the kitten is carried by the strength of the mother. The kitten does not have to care where I am going, where is my mother taking, and how she is holding. The kitten baby is happily situated. Srila Prabhupada asked, so which way is better? So this time, people said, Srila Prabhupada, cat way is the better. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it is exactly like the yogis who try to climb on the back of the Absolute Truth and on their own strength, by their own knowledge and speculation, they try to find out about Absolute Truth. But they are very weak and that's why they fall down. But the devotees of Krishna, they are like kittens. Whenever they are being carried by Krishna, by his own strength. Whenever a devotee is in trouble, or whenever he wants anything, he only depends on Krishna. So while Prabhupada said Krishna, he raised his hands up high, and he said that a devotee of Krishna only cries for Krishna and Krishna lifts him up. So that's the difference between yogi and devotee. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has any questions? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Beautiful class. Thank you very much. On this last point you're just making, some yogis and some gyanis, from what I can understand, they actually achieve Brahman realization. Right? So the yogis have a process that's described in the Bhagavad Gita and places in the Bhagavatam. You know, they have that Ashtanga yoga system. And the gyanis, I never heard if they have a process or not, but is it just on the strength of their own endeavor that they're actually able to achieve Brahman realized, they do merge into the Brahmajyoti. I know it's not a stable position and they'll come down like that. But is it just on the strength of their own endeavor, or is there, you know, are they also dependent on the mercy in some way? Or what's the understanding there? I'm not clear on that.
In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that, like in the beginning when the creation starts, right? Many of the sons of Brahma, they do not know who is actually the Supreme. They think Brahma may be the Supreme. Like, there is a reference that Kashyap, who is the father of demigods and demons, he was also impersonalist. So, you know, the knowledge is really rare. The knowledge that we have received from Srila Prabhupada is actually very rare. It is very common, you know, my own personal experience. In India, almost everyone knows about Krishna. Everyone knows who is God, you know. At least they think that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme. That's also fine. We don't have objection. But the problem is, 90% of the people, they think that Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna or Lord Sri Ram, they are representing Brahman. They are coming from Brahman. And ultimate, you know, is Brahman. And from Brahman comes the person, only for some time, and then they again go back and merge in the Brahman. So that's the very common understanding. Even you will find this understanding in Vrindavan. So it's really very rare knowledge that we have received from Srila Prabhupada. I can say that because I have seen so many people who are actually very advanced. We think that he is so advanced. I even bow down to many people and like many, you know, so-called great leaders, and I wanted to know more, you know, like I started to understand their philosophy. So when I brought the topic, ultimately they start speaking this nonsense, Mayavad. And then I feel like, how can such a person who is so famous and who is actually very advanced, they are advanced, but they do not know the highest. That's unfortunate for them. But at the same time, we should understand our great fortune that Srila Prabhupada has given the highest knowledge. There is nothing beyond this knowledge. There cannot be. Because we see even in the pastimes of Krishna, there are people who want only, you know, Brahman realize it. They are in front of Krishna. They are seeing the personality of Krishna, and sometimes they don't know that he is the Supreme, that is the ultimate. Sometimes we see that many people have not come up to that understanding. And it is unfortunate. And of course it's their endeavor, because they are performing a lot of spiritual activities. They are performing penances. They are following different rules, regulations. But somehow, the ultimate goal is wrong. For example, I'm coming and I'm, you know, serving you. Oh, Bhrigupati Prabhu, you are amazing. You are so great devotee. I'm coming every day and I'm serving you. I'm massaging your feet. I'm doing whatever you say. But ultimately, what I want is something from you. I want to take your position. I want, you know, something from you. So this is very bad situation that you think that I am, you know, doing everything, I'm serving you, but ultimate desire is to achieve the impersonal. Also, there are two categories, that impersonalist and Mayavadis. Like, you know, there are Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Brahmavadis may be, like Prabhupada said, that they are innocent impersonalists. They do not have such desire that they want to become Krishna and they want to enjoy and stuff. They are just innocent. They don't know that ultimate is the personality of God. But Mayavadis are actual offenders. Archita Prabhu wanted to add something.
Jnana means action, just like we have that painting there. They're not yogis, they're not practicing Ashtanga yoga, they're following the Shankaracharya Mayavad. But it means action. And that action, the recommended action on that Mayavada path is great austerity. These sannyasis, like in Varanasi here, they were practicing great austerity. It's not that he's just sitting around and, you know, chit-chatting and having tea and, you know, socializing. So the path of Gyan means activity, and that activity is very severe. Like Prabhupada said, the Mayavadi sannyasis are more strict and more, you know, renounced than the Vaishnavas in general. They have to sleep on, you know, in very severe conditions, and where the heat or cold, they sleep on the floor. And so that path of Gyan was very, very tough. It wasn't just speculating and talking and then doing whatever you want, smoking bidi, and no. It meant specific action. If you're following this path of Shankaracharya, again, especially, very, very specific. Like, first of all, you become sannyas, Prabhupada said. On our path, you can remain householder. All of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were householders, practically. He married twice. That's impossible on the path of Gyan. You have to renounce. You have to give up all family connection, become sannyasi, study all day, sleep very severe, you know, like eat very severely. That's the real path of Gyan. It wasn't just some, you know, walk in the park. So that's their process. By that severe austerity and study and like that, then they gradually rise up to the point of realizing themselves as being different from matter. And then at that point, they merge into Brahman. But like you said, they don't stay there because Yene Ravindaksha Bruhaktamadinas.
These questions have been addressed in all our literature. Even Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri whose name was Ramachandra Puri. So he is very strict, but he is impersonalist. And he is finding faults even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he sometimes, you know, he saw ants in his room and he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that you are a fake sannyasi because there are ants, that means you are eating sweets. How can you eat sweets? So like Archit Prabhu said, that they're very strict. Of course, they are undergoing austerities and a lot of penances, but ultimately they are not knowing the highest truth. But I'll say the last point, that it is also said that one comes to bhakti after many, many births. So who knows that we may also be on that path and somehow we have received the highest knowledge in this lifetime. So that's why we should make the best of this opportunity. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Mm-hmm.